from Psalms chapter 37. Be reading 1 through 5 in verse 23 and other scriptures to go along with today's message. How to know you are following God or in His will. In this passage of scripture, King David wrote by the inspiration of God, and he reveals to us the security of those who trust in the Lord, however, the insecurity of the wicked. So, if we are in Christ Jesus, we have security. Amen? That's a promise from Him. But the wicked, there's insecurity, and there's a lot of wickedness in our world today. And so, follow along with me as I begin with verse 1. Psalms chapter 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We need to commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. And then verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in His way. So, our scripture reading gives us an insight of what we need to be doing as Christians. And David, of all people or persons, as God called him to lead a nation. I mean, he started out as a young lad. And you know, as a young lad, I'm sure that he had different things in his mind that he would be doing. But when God chose him to be the king of Israel, I'm sure as a young man, he knew he couldn't do it alone, just like we cannot live the Christian life alone. We need guidance. And in order to have the guidance and be able to be on the right direction, we have to follow the leadership of the Lord. So, in this passage today, I want us to look at some important essentials and so forth. And nothing is more important in a believer's life than to follow the will of God. You know, we live in some dark days today, don't we? A lot of uncertainties today. You turn on the TV or listen to radio, you just watch the media, what's going on overseas. There's some darkening days even ahead of us now. But God wants us to be able to walk in the light. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Also, Isaiah, in speaking to the people back then in the Old Testament, also gave them guidance as well when he said, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones. Have you noticed each one of these passages of Scripture says will give you the desire of your heart? So where is our heart? Is it on the things of God, or is it on the things of the world, or is it of the worries of the world or the circumstances of the world that confuses us, that concerns us, and so forth? Also, in Psalms chapter 32, verse 8, says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. Now, in order for us to be instructed in the way we should go, then we got to follow God. We got to follow His leadership. Got to follow His voice. Then it says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So he's got his eye on us, doesn't he? He's always looking into our lives. See, he knows everything about us. Everything about us. There's nothing that we can hide from God. Now, we can hide from one another, right? When I was a kid, I used to hide from Mom and Dad. When I got in trouble, I'd do something, I'd go hide. And I'd be fine for a while. But whoa, when they found me, I was in trouble. And most time it was in the barn, up in the hayloft. I'd build me a nice nest up there, and I would hide. I was secure. Nobody knew where I was until I thought, I guess I better answer them, because they could holler, 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 call, call, call. But see, you know, God knows where we are at all times. So we can't hide anything from him. And whatever's in our heart, whatever the desires are, he knows what they are. He knows if we really love him, are really committed to him. And in our day and in this day and time, you probably heard this all of your life, in this day and time. Well, in this day and time, we're getting closer and closer in the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus Christ, of him coming again. And we as preachers will preach that until he comes or until he calls us home, because that's what the scripture says. If we want to follow his will, if we want to be in his will, as preachers, teachers, as Christians, as we read the scriptures, we have to be alert and aware of the things that's going to happen, not only today, but tomorrow. And may it not be any surprise to us as the various things that do happen in this world. Even the Bible says that there will be earthquakes, there'll be famine, there'll be a lot of things that takes place. Then Jesus said, but that doesn't mean it's the end of time. But keep watching, keep praying, keep seeking my will, keep walking with me, keep following me until that time comes. And even the disciples, he said, I will come again. So there's three things that must be present in our lives as Christians before you and I can know that we are following God's will. First of all, you need a godly, pure lifestyle, verse 23, which says, the Lord establishes or the steps of man are established. So what it says, and protects the way of righteousness. See, would you like to have God to direct your paths? Then we got to seek his advice before we even step out. That's what the scripture tells us this morning. It reminds me of a man that was trying to move a couch. And he was trying to do it by himself. And he was pushing and pulling and everything he'd do, and it was in the doorway, and he couldn't get it in or he couldn't get it out. So his neighbor saw him struggling, so he comes over there and says, hey, I saw you trying to get working with this couch. He said, yes. So he grabbed a hold of it, and one was pushing and one was pulling. Push up, push up. And finally the owner said, you know, just give it up. We're not ever going to get this couch in. And the neighbor said, did you say in? I thought you was wanting the couch out. See what happens in our life when we're not following the right direction, when we're making wrong choices and making wrong decisions. You see, the choices that we make reflect our character and reveal our hearts. And that's what David is saying in this passage this morning. We choose today, what we choose today affects our lives in the future, or tomorrow. And our future will show that we have in mind and what we have in our heart today. You know, it's a simple and a clear principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap, right? I don't know about you, but art and gardens are doing wonderful this year. better than I've ever seen. This is my sixth garden Brenda and I have planted, and I think this is the best one. We had to still weed it and hoe it and all that stuff, but stuff is just growing and coming up, and we're going to have all of this fruit and stuff bearing when we're gone. And the Kims. So if you're driving by my house and need something to eat, go out to the garden and get it. But whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And hopefully, the things that we are sowing are good things in our life, the good fruit of the Spirit in our life. And as we ponder these things, it warns us not to take risk, making questionable choices in our life. Making decision is sensitive, and it's critical. And we need the help of God in our life. Now, it's wise to move to follow the will of God in making many decisions. Even we think about, well, anything major, we need to ask God. Well, I ask God on some of the simple things, and he probably looks at me sometimes, well, you ought to know better than that. You ought to know that. But, you know, if we really want to follow God and we don't want to get out of step or off the track anyway, just the simple things in life will help us to keep our eyes on Jesus that much more and follow his will no matter what. Now, I'm not talking about when I get up in the morning and say, God, what color socks am I going to wear today? Well, he gives us sense to understand that, you know, we need to coordinate everything. But it's hard to do that in the dark, isn't it? You got to turn the light on. But he wants us to live in the light of the Word. And when we do, he'll bless us. See, our Heavenly Father, he wants us to listen to his counsel and obey him with love. Show our love. He said, if we love him, we will obey him. If you obey my principles, it will be a proof that you love me. See, he knows the future, and he holds our future. Not anything in this world, no offenses or military or whatever force there is out in the world today trying to take over the world, God is still in control. You think about that. You pray about that and say, Lord, help me accept that you're in control. See, God wants us to become obedient to his word and enjoy his abundant blessings as we serve him and wait for the coming of the Lord and Savior one of these days. And he is coming again. See, our spiritual growth and fruitfulness, it depends on how we treasure, how we apply God's principles in our everyday life. See, it proves our spiritual growth. And if we're not reading the Bible, we're not growing spiritually. And it's so important. And that's why I quote Martin Luther, that the Word of God is alive. It is alive. It speaks to your heart. It does run after you when we get in trouble, when we need discipline. And it takes its arms, and it takes hold of our lives. It pulls us in to where we need to be, where we can find security in our life in the Word of God. And God should be our life. See, we should not always forget all the warnings we have heard so that our true purpose of life will be defrauded, but continually fulfilled as we walk in the paths of righteousness. See, the fear of God is the key of sound wisdom. Or the reverence of God is the key to sound wisdom. And right choice is the fruit of spiritual mind. Not only that, but you need a yielded heart. What does that mean? What does a yielded heart mean? It means commitment. It means trust. See, to yield means to surrender or submit to the physical control of another, to hand over possession. That means that we don't belong to our own self. We belong to God. So why not submit? Why not surrender ourselves to him who created us and made us in his own image? And he is a perfect image for us to follow. The image of the image of Christ, the image of God. See, the difference in a contribution and a total commitment is usually the difference in failure or success. There's a story about a chicken and a hog that are walking past this church one day when they noticed the Sunday school morning sermon posted on the outside of the bulletin says, helping the poor. So as the chicken and the hog continue to walk down through there, which is a good analogy for us to helping the poor or helping the need, as the chicken looked at the hog and said, you know, why don't we make a contribution? Why don't we provide a good breakfast for the poor in our community? And the hog thought about that a minute. He said, well, you know, you would be making a contribution, but I would be making a total commitment, total sacrifice. And that's true. Sometimes we do make a commitment, but sometimes we need to surrender totally to the Lord. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what Romans 12 tells us, that we are living sacrifices created unto good works. You know, Bible clearly indicates that we are not our own. God is the owner. We shouldn't insist on our own way. Yeah. Or he may let us. So are you willing to hand over control of your life to God and do whatever he wants you to do? Can you and I honestly say that we are totally surrendered? We sing that song often, don't we? I surrender all. And how often do we really think about the words that we sing? I surrender all. If we total or are surrendered, we will live as we are surrendered. You know, do you trust him enough to do that? In verse 3 and 5, it tells us that we are to trust. That is the issue. If you and I have trouble giving him control, it's because we don't trust him enough. If we're not trust someone, then we're not going to totally give them of ourselves, are we? If we have trouble trusting him, it's because we don't know him enough. Trust takes time and experience. And more than we read the Word of God, more we will trust him. Is he trustworthy? Is the Lord trustworthy? Yes, I believe he is. If a stranger asks you to give him $20 and says, just trust me, I'll explain later, would you do it? Or what about this? If our wives ask us for $20 and they say, just trust me, never mind, that's not a good example. No, that's not a good example at all. So, but as we know Jesus, we come to love him. As we love him, we come to trust him. And as we trust him, we obey him. And as we obey him, we are blessed by him. Amen? We are blessed by him. Now, in verse 4, it tells us when we come back. If we drift, sometimes we come back. And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. It's just like the prodigal son. He wanted to go out on his own. He wanted to experience the world. And yet he got out there and realized he was out of the will of his own father. He was out of the will of the heavenly father. He had everything he needed. And then it said when he come to his senses, he wanted to return. But he was afraid to, because he was afraid he might not be accepted. But guess what? We have a heavenly Father. Doesn't matter how far we stray away from him, he is always waiting for us. He loves us that much. He died for us unconditionally. And he's just waiting for you and me, if we stray or get off course, to come back and say, Lord, I was wrong. You're always right, and I need to follow in your footsteps. I've asked your forgiveness. And guess what? He knows your heart, and at that moment, he will forgive you. and accept you back into the fold. You see, we don't lose our salvation. That's one good thing about when God gives you the gift of salvation. He doesn't take it one day and then give it back. Take it another day, then give it back. You have what you have that was given to you on the day you accepted Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. It's on our part. We fail sometimes to keep that alive, the freshness, that fellowship. You see, that fellowship between us and the Lord can be severed in just a moment by some wrongdoing or some wrong thought or some wrong deed or something. But as soon as we realize it, we come back to Jesus and say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have acted upon that. And see, the Holy Spirit is living here in our heart to remind us of that. And we have to be attentive and sensitive to the Holy Spirit in its leading, because it's very important for us to do that. See, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, our lives are conformed to His. You see, He merges His will and our desires, transforms our desires, and then gives us our desire. And because He gives us our desire, it's in within His will. It's not we're acting selfishly, but we're acting upon His will and following Him. Therefore, He gives us desires of our heart. Now, Brenda's not here today. And sometimes I use Brenda as an example because she's a good example. She's a great example for me, you know, as my wife and so forth. And bless her heart, I mentioned to you this morning to pray for her as well. She got up this morning, got sick, and she was still sick when I left. So pray for Brenda. But how did I know I was supposed to marry Brenda? How do you suppose I knew I was supposed to marry Brenda? I didn't hear that. Oh, she told me so. That's a good answer. That's close. It wasn't spooky or mysterious, though, was it? And I didn't read her name in the Bible or hear it dropped it through the ductwork, though. You know, and I was walking in the will of God and just knew in my heart we were to marry. My desire for her may have come before her desire for me. And I would love to tell you how we met sometime. Or it may have been spontaneous. My desire to meet her, she, me, might have been spontaneous. It wasn't either one of us was closer than the other to the Lord at that time. In the end, we both saw the light. And that's why we're here today. Or maybe it could have been my gorgeous hair back then. Because when I was a senior, the seniors made up the perfect guy. They took parts of each one of us guys and they sized it up and to come up with the perfect guy, and I had the perfect hair. Then I had the perfect hair. And maybe that's why I attracted Brenda to me. I don't know. It might have been my hair. Now she's not even worried about it. Neither am I. But, you know, what about the call to preach? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This is true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop." There we go. Desires of your heart. What is desire of your heart this very moment? What is it? To be closer to the Lord? Or is it something else that's dwelling on your heart and mind? But Paul says, "This is a true saying." Now, he's read the Old Testament, hadn't he, about the desires of the heart. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, bishop in the Greek refers to elder, bishop, overseer, or pastor. So any of those four is grouped into that Greek word meaning. So pastoring here or what to preach, what to drive, who to hire, what to buy, give to mission, where to go to college. When you say no, yes, slow, grow, go, you know, what is the desires of your heart? You know what? If we really want to see the desires of a man's heart, read the missionary journeys of Paul. Over and over and over, it says he went to a place. And these places involved 135 different areas of ministry and churches and places that he went, that he was led by God. Because he had the desire to walk in the steps of Jesus. And he went there, he went to those places because he had a mind, a desire to go. Because it was implanted in his heart once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus to obey him and do exactly how he was instructed. And if we would only do that as Christians, look what could be accomplished in only one life. But you combine all of us together, look what could be accomplished for the life of Christ. A lot. See, there's at least a couple spiritual habits that Christians have to build into their lives if they are delighting to be in the Lord's will. And they're essential, knowing the will of God. See, God leads through His Word. Look at Psalms 119:105. Thy Word is the lamp unto my feet and the light of my path. Is that familiar? We say it. Vacation Bible School. We say it. Camp, school, wherever. Your Word is the light of my feet and the light of my path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you hear that? It discerns the intent and desires of our heart, the Word of God. So, the Word of God, as we read it, it discerns us and it speaks to us. That's why I said the Word of God is alive and it speaks to us and it knows the desires and concerns of our hearts. You see, that's why we are able as Christians to interpret what God's will is for our life as we read the Word of God. Oh, it's pretty simple. If we will follow what the Word of God says, the only thing that can divide the soul from the spirit is the Bible. What's the difference? The soul part of man is what we want to do. It's what we want to do. My dreams, my goals, my ambitions, my desires, that comes from our soul. Before I surrendered, there was all kinds of things that I wanted to do with my life because I wanted to be in control. That's the way we are as humans, but it shouldn't be that way. And then the spirit portion of a man is what God wants me to do, what God wants you to do. That's the spirit part because the Spirit of God lives right here in our heart. Our soul's here too, but it works on a different level. The Spirit works on the level of the Holy Spirit, the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there have been times in my life when my soul was tempted to do something else, but the Spirit part of me knew better and corrected my soul. And praise God. That happens. I listen to the Spirit rather than to my own conscience, my own soul. See, when we're born, we're given a soul. When we're born again from above, we're given the Spirit of God to live in us and to reign in us. See, a big part of knowing God's will is knowing whether the peace you feel is you want or what God wants. See, is it you or is it what God wants? And you must emerge you in, I would say, a megadose of the Word of God. Matter of fact, go to the point that you get OD'd into the Word of God. God wants us to really be sold out for Him. See, God leads through prayer as well. Prayer is a two-way street. If we would be still, we would hear His still, small voice in our hearts. Not just talking at God, even to God, but with God. I like Psalms 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." All through the Bible, there's verses that says, "Be still and listen to the voice of God." If we will do that, we will have life-changing experience living with God. You know, as Christian, you will still face plenty of obstacles and oppositions. If you haven't already, but you will. And there will be times when commitment is the only thing that carries you forward. See, little Robert made a commitment. And it's up to us as adults to nurture him, instruct him in the ways of the Lord. See, that's our responsibility. That's why I always ask, are you praying for a new convert? We have to pray for them. I've talked to so many that's made the decision, even as an adult, and I said, no sooner than you walk out the door, Satan's going to be out there waiting for you. He's going to be throwing temptations at you. He's going to be putting things in your mind, obstacles in front of you for you to trip up over. But you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, sharper than a two-edged sword, rightly dividing the sunder of the spirit and soul. We're willing to keep our eyes on Jesus, then we'll be following and walking in His footsteps daily. May we pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your message to us through Your Word. And how that we are to walk upright, to seek the righteousness of You and not our own self. Lord, I just pray for the leading of Your Holy Spirit this morning in this sanctuary. Lord, I know that You're here this morning. We can feel Your presence, acknowledge Your presence. You're speaking to someone here this morning. And Lord, Your message should have spoken to every one of us. Because there's areas in our life that we probably need to recommit. And we need to even trust You more with our life to help increase our faith. Because often You would remind the disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith," because they didn't believe like they should have. And Lord, we thank You that You are in control. Lord, You've already won the victory through Jesus Christ, Your Son, on Calvary. And all we have to do is just trust You. Just give up our own will and accept Your will and Your purpose and walk in Your footsteps. Lord, sometimes it's hard to step out in the aisle and come to the front and admit we're wrong, but that's the best thing that we can do, to be in Your will. You will bless us. That's what Your scripture says. A man willing to step out, man, woman, child, young person willing to step out and make a stand for You, You will bless them. May we not allow Satan to have victory in our lives because we're Christians, because we are a triumph in Jesus Christ. Whatever the decisions are today, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit take control. May we be willing to yield and surrender to Your invitation. We praise You and we thank You in Your precious Son's name. Amen. our hymn of invitation this morning is 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us stand as we sing. You come. On the first note, first stanza, you come. I'm here at the front to pray with you, talk with you, settle anything that God has placed on your heart. You come as we sing.